From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis on the Korean Peninsula. Hello, and welcome to Korean Context. My name is Jenna Gibson, Associate Director for Communication Technology and Programs here at KEI, and I will be your host today. In this episode, we are sitting down with Dr. Wang Song-taek, who is a senior diplomatic correspondent and the Washington Bureau Chief of YTN, which is a cable TV news channel in Korea. Dr. Wang is a veteran journalist. He's been a journalist for more than 20 years, and he has covered diplomatic issues, including South Korea-North Korea relations, the North Korean nuclear issue, and Korea-U.S. relations. He has traveled to North Korea 7 times in his capacity as a journalist to cover events, including family reunions and official dialogues between the two countries. Dr. Wang also has his PhD in North Korean Studies from the University of North Korean Studies in Seoul. Dr. Wang and I will discuss the new paper he has written for KEI as part of our academic paper series. In this paper, he talks about the legitimacy structure of the North Korean leadership and what it means for North Korean stability going forward. Dr. Wang, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
For your paper, you use Max Weber's theory of legitimacy to analyze the leadership of North Korea. Can you begin by summarizing for our listeners what are the 3 types of legitimacy that are included in this theory and how are they applicable to North Korea?
Yes, Max Weber classified legitimacy into 3 kinds. They are charismatic, traditional, and rational legal legitimacy. Max Weber concept of legitimacy, he defines that the probability that an order is accepted as obligatory, exemplary, and valid by actors. Charismatic legitimacy is originated from a hero or heroine's incredible capability to lead people's movement or some kind of project. This kind of legitimacy can be found in newly created countries. Traditional legitimacy is something inherited from already legitimate leader. This can be seen in monarchies. Lastly, rational legal legitimacy comes from being elected under the written rules and the regulations. This can be seen in democratic countries. The concept of legitimacy is important because it is about the voluntary obedience of a people to the leader, which is backbone of stability of a political regime. And the type of legitimacy decides the major characteristics of the actual domination, according to Max Weber. Application to North Korea. North Korea under Kim Il-sung, the legendary leader of North Korea, first leader, is a typical charismatic legitimacy country. He was regarded as a superhero when he led the creation of the regime. However, the legitimacy type of North Korea was changed into traditional type in 1974. When Kim Il-sung designated his son, Kim Jong-il, as his successor. So since then, North Korea's legitimacy type can be said traditional legitimacy.
You mentioned in your paper a couple of examples, and you talked about the shift from Kim Il-sung's charismatic legitimacy to Kim Jong-il's traditional legitimacy, which has now been passed down to his son, Kim Jong-un. So can you give us an idea of how you identified this shift and what did it mean for North Korea at the time? Were there certain events that led you to believe that North Korea is now a traditional legitimacy rather than charismatic legitimacy?
Yeah, as I told you just before, the designation of successor in 1974 made a quality change in the North. Kim Jong-il, at the time, became a part of leadership. He was not a charismatic leader. So he did not need to prove his charisma. What he needed at the time to do was prove the fact that he is the son of the supreme leader, Kim Il-sung. There were a small group of elites who did not like the family succession at the time. However, Kim Il-sung, Kim Jong-il successfully carried out their plan to claim the ownership of the country. Since then, elites and people of North Korea accepted a new tradition that the legitimacy to rule the country should be passed down to a member of Kim Il-sung family. That meant a lot for North Korea. First, the elites in North Korea should accept the quality change of their own status from followers of Kim Il-sung to retainers for Kim Jong-il. Followers can be the same grade as comrades with the leader sometimes, but retainers, they should be lower grade existence forever. Comradeship was the sufficient condition for the good relations with the leader in charismatic society. However, loyalty is the critical virtue and qualification for a good retainer. Promotions, demotions can be decided only by the grace of the leader, not by seniority, expertise, or performance. In charismatic society, nobody knows who is going to be the next leader. There can be power struggle. However, in traditional legitimacy country, the next leader is almost designated according to the rank in the royal family. So since the year of 1974, North Korea became a practically monarchy. It's more like monarchy. The legitimacy comes from the relation with Kim family, not from the other factors like charisma or capability.
So you mentioned this in your paper, and it comes up a lot in news reports and analyses, the fact that Kim Jong-un has been trying to imitate his grandfather in the way he styles himself and the way he acts. How does this behavior fit into your theory? And doesn't it seem like he's trying to draw charisma from his grandfather?
Well, he's relatively unfamiliar with North Korean people when he first appeared on TV and newspapers in late 2010. I said relatively unfamiliar, actually say absolutely unfamiliar. The fact that he is the son of the Kim Jong-il was not known among people. So he needed to prove that he is the son of Kim Jong-il and grandson of Kim Il-sung. He should make people familiar with him as a regular member of Kim Il-sung family. Actually, he looks like his grandfather. So he resembles his grandfather a lot. So the imitation is one of the good measures from their side to make people accept his legitimacy as smooth as possible.
Okay, so we're talking about the difference and the shift from charismatic legitimacy to traditional legitimacy, which is now what you say is going on in North Korea.
Yeah.
So we've seen a lot of news coverage about Kim Jong-un, especially right when he took power. And it said that he would never survive as a leader because he doesn't have the same charisma as his grandfather. And at the same time, whenever there are major purges, people say that North Korea could collapse at any time or that it's a sign of instability. How does your theory respond to these analysts who say that the Kim regime could collapse at any moment?
Yeah, North Korea can collapse, as the other states have possibility to collapse. Nobody can deny that. This is a possibility. It is possible for people to say North Korea is going to collapse. However, if you say so, you better provide logical grounds or credible reasons to believe that. If you cannot provide logical ground, it should be wishful thinking. Wishful thinking cannot be grounds for actual policies. Policies cost a lot in terms of money, in terms of humanism. The collapse stories until now, at least until now, failed, actually. They were doomed to fail because they did not provide plausible grounds. There were two grounds, which were provided by the experts. Economic failure and lack of legitimacy are those two grounds. Economic failure cannot be the reason anymore because the worst economic situation in North Korea was in late 1990s. However, they survived. Actually, 1 million or maximum 3 million people died of hunger, but they survived. One cannot explain the reason why the North Korea did not collapse in 1996 if the person argues that the miserable economic situation can be caused collapse. For legitimacy, as I told you, Kim Jong-un legitimacy is strong for now. Proving that he is the son of Kim Jong-il is not a difficult job at all. So logically, we would not find any reason to believe North Korea is about to collapse. So it is time to think the reason why we fail to predict the correct predictions. And it is time to talk about what we missed. I think the type of legitimacy of North Korea is one of the points we missed. That's the reason why we misunderstood the stability of North Korea.
So one of the things that I think your paper does so well is it brings in this idea of legitimacy cycles as a way to more accurately predict the stability of the Kim regime here. And so can you give us an idea of what that means and what it means for North Korea specifically?
Yeah, as you said, explaining the stability of the Kim Jong-un regime is one thing, and talking about the future of the regime is another thing. In order to get a plausible idea on the future of North Korea, I think the analysis using domestic political cycle can be useful. Actually, I studied on domestic political cycle in my PhD dissertation, in which I looked into some patterns or trends of domestic political cycle of North Korea and the United States. This analysis assumes that every political entity has its own domestic political cycle by which leader, elites, and masses accept a legitimacy of the leader as effective. When a political cycle completes one round, there must be a renewal of the legitimacy for a new round. If the leader cannot make renew in a smooth way, he or she can be ousted from the leader position. In democratic society, elections, especially presidential elections, are clear borderline between old cycle and new cycle. In dictatorship countries, together with some monarchies, periodic inauguration ceremonies of the ruler or national anniversaries can be equivalents for elections in democracies. Under Kim Il-sung leadership, the political cycle in North Korea was formed following the economic development plans. Under Kim Jong-il leadership, the cycle was formed following the Supreme People's Assembly, which is reshuffled by 5 years. Kim Jong-un had a similar kind of environment with his father rather than his grandfather period, so it is natural to believe that 5-year cycle with the assembly can be continued in North Korea, I believe. Supreme People's Assembly began its new term April last year, and the term ends in April 2019. Kim Jong-un will have to do something to renew his legitimacy before the year of 2019. So we can say this regime will be stable for the next few years. However, Kim Jong-un will get a challenge on legitimacy renewal before the year of 2019. If he manages well the challenge, he will enjoy another round of 5-year political cycle since 2019.
Right. So one thing that I thought was really interesting in the event that we just held here at KEI, where you're presenting your findings here, was you mentioned Chang Song-taek's execution and the fact that in the news when this happened, there was a lot of panic. This is a huge upset. It's a surprise. And, you know, now it's sure that the regime is unstable and not that powerful. So, but you were arguing that, in fact, it's a logical conclusion, right? It makes sense that something like this would have happened based on the cycle, right?
Yes, Chang Song-taek incident happened December 2013, several months before the new cycle. That is one leg of tensional periods before change of cycle by cycle. So, yeah, it is kind of symbol. That kind of thing happened repeatedly in North Korean history. So we can say North Korean domestic cycle, especially under Kim Jong-un regime, also continue following by the SPA cycle, the Supreme People's Assembly cycle, 5-year.
So if you have to give some recommendations based on your analysis, what does all of this mean for policymakers in the U.S. and Korea, and what should they be doing to take into account the traditional legitimacy structure of North Korea?
Yeah, accurate diagnosis can lead an effective prescription and ultimately joyful cure. Current policies on North Korea from South Korea and the United States seem based on assumption that the North would collapse anytime soon. The U.S. President Barack Obama said that North Korea will collapse over time in YouTube interview early this year. The South Korean President Park Geun-hye publicly said reunification could come like dawn. It meant that North Korea collapsed way sooner than expected. These analyses or these diagnoses were wrong, I believe. Now, because you believe the Kim Jong-un regime would collapse anytime soon, you have no choice but to wait and see what is going to happen there, rather than doing something proactively. The U.S. and South Korea have waited and seen the North since the year of 2008 or 2009. Strategic patience of U.S. policy is kind of similar kind of watch and see policy. But situation on Korean Peninsula, including nuclear issue, got worse and worse. The wrong diagnosis led the wrong policies and blocked the opportunity for joyful resolution of the problems. The U.S. and South Korean government officials say they are taking two-track approach with pressure and engagement. However, North Korea does not show any sincerity about the engagement side. So there is only one side of the two-track approach, that is pressure. The problem is that if you put pressure on the North, Kim Jong-un regime takes advantage of it, saying the regime is fighting against the outside pressure and persuade people that Kim Jong-un is doing what he has to do for the tradition of a revolution, which can reinforce his legitimacy. This is a real contradictory situation. So policies on North Korea should include engagement measures. Pressure-only measures will deteriorate the situation. So I'll propose take double-track approach on North Korea. Some kind of humanitarian assistance or dialogue can be taken as a first step for engagement policy.
Is there anything else that you want the listeners to know about your paper, your analysis?
Those 3 points. Legitimacy type of North Korea is a traditional legitimacy type. And then domestic political cycle of North Korea is 5-year cycle following the Supreme People's Assembly. So when you predict future of North Korea, we have to check about the time schedule, time span. And then lastly, the tradition, because he's a traditional leader, he is bound by the tradition. So we have to understand what is tradition of North Korea. That is revolution. What is the revolution means? It is liberation of South Korea from outside invasion, outside intervention. So keep fighting against the United States is the tradition they explaining. So, and people believe that kind of tradition as their collective mission. This is a kind of psychological structure of North Korean political system. So you have to understand this kind of little bit weird structure.
All right, Dr. Wong, thank you very much for joining us today. It was a great paper, and it was great talking to you about your analysis.
Thank you.
That's all for this episode of Korean Context. Thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you again next time.